Do want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. If you noticed, Paul just prayed for an anointing on my mind. You want to clarify some? I'm kidding. In all reality, thank you, Paul, for praying. So I was listening here to the different comments about helping each other. And the group that came up and prayed for Sheldon and Ellen. How much that the body, we as a body, need each other. Paul's are going for a bit. And we sense when we're not here that we've missed something. So again, I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. We are here for each other. We're here to help each other. We're here to encourage each other and to bless God. That is a lot of our purpose. I'd like for you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. I have titled my message this morning, A Key to Closeness with God. I'm not sure how it is with you, but I think I know. But one of my heart's desires is that I know how to draw close to God. When I want to be somebody's friend or I want their friendship, I do what I can to connect. We're going to look at a few things this morning that will help us. We're not going to be in 1 Corinthians this morning like we've been. But we will be in a couple other scriptures. I've asked Johnny Buntrig if he would come up. John, if you want to come up and read James chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. So I'd invite you to stand as Johnny reads. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 10.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? From they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter return to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to pick a verse or a phrase out of verse 8 this morning that we're going to use at the beginning here. And that is, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's been one of my favorite verses for quite a while. Excuse me. But as I think about that verse, the question comes to me, How do we put that into play today in our busy, busy world? I have had a time where I felt really, really distant from God. Have you experienced that? I see heads nodding. Where it just seemed like we just couldn't get close. Then we've had other times where it seemed our connection with God has been so good. It's been so vibrant. I have to think of a time where I had mornings where I could spend a lot of time in the Word. And I remember during that time, there was a closeness. There was a connection. And sometimes it's a connection that's strong enough that you really don't want to get up and go to work. It'd be good just to stay right there and to continue to feel that closeness with God. Excuse me. 1 Timothy 6, there's two verses there. But thou, O man of God, this is Paul talking to Timothy, but thou, O man of God, Timothy, you're a man of God, I want you to flee these things. And he had named a whole bunch of sins ahead of this. He said, I want you to flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And then he says this, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. For myself, I realize that I can't fight that fight on my own. I have tried, and I'm guessing you have too. But when we try to fight that fight, when we try to live life on our own, we fail. Paul was giving Timothy this encouragement. Timothy, fight that good fight. But there's somebody that we need to connect with if we're going to be successful. We can't do it on our own. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So again, Paul was giving Timothy this encouragement. Fight that fight. Connect with God is what I'm trying to bring to us with that specific verse. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to fight that fight. There's an armor that we put on. We're not going to go into that this morning, but that's also there. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 13. I found this psalm and as I dug into it a little bit, I found out, if I can find Psalm here, we don't really know a whole lot about this psalm. This is a psalm that David wrote. And they've tried to figure out, according to what I've been reading, what was happening in David's life, and we're not really sure. But David here seems like he was at a time where things might have been silent. I'm going to read through, this is only 6 verses, I'd like to read through this psalm, and I want you to watch in the first 2 verses, he uses 2 words, 4 times. And he says, how long? Verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Can you imagine what David was feeling here? We're not sure. But can you imagine that in your own life? You're praying this to God. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? And then David starts talking to God again in a little bit of a different sense. He says, consider me and hear me. O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. God, please hear me. I will die. I need you to hear me. Well, then he comes in verse 5, and something transpired here. And he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. David found closeness. And I don't know, again, I'm not sure what got him here. But he was pleading with God. He was begging with God in verse 3 to hear him. God, would you hear me? This morning I'd like to talk about a subject that we probably shouldn't talk about on Fellowship Dinner Sunday. I'd like to talk this morning about prayer and fasting. Cooks, I don't think you'll have to worry about it. I think there's going to be people that will eat today, but I want you to think about what we're going to share today. Prayer and fasting are 2 things I'd like to look at this morning. There's something that I have in front of me here, a quote that I have that I tried to remember for myself, and I want to share this quote with you this morning. And this quote doesn't go specifically just for this message. It is about life. It goes like this. It is of utmost importance that we follow the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. than to rearrange them to fit our personal designs. I'm going to read that again. It is of utmost importance that we follow the teachings of the Holy Scriptures than to rearrange them to fit our personal designs. In other words, putting it into something a lot more simple, we follow the teachings of the Word of God. It's of utmost importance that we follow this. I want to give you an example. So we're talking about fasting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about who he was and how he lived. And he mentioned fasting as one of those things. But before he mentions it, he says it is for the ministers of the gospel. So now, if I really want to, I'm going to say, if I'm not a minister, I'm going to say that was for ministers. I don't need to fast. No, we check out some other scriptures and we look at the word ministers, and it actually means those that serve. But I think we're all serving, aren't we? We are all here as ministers of the gospel. We're all here to serve Jesus by how we live, to share his love. What does it mean to fast? I'm just going to throw that out. What does it mean to fast? To go without. Okay, that's part of it. What else? I'm not being fair. Did somebody say something? Surrender. To go without, surrender. To pursue. Okay. We're going to touch that one. So fasting is something that we voluntarily do. Fasting is not something that as a congregation here, we're going to tell you, okay, now today is June the 14th, tomorrow is June the 15th, you are required to fast tomorrow. In the Old Testament, they had the Day of Atonement was a day of fasting. In the New Testament, I don't see where it's taught that you set a day that it is your requirement to fast. But we'll come to something else here in just a second. Fasting is trading earthly pleasures for heavenly treasures. I love food. I'm going to be honest with you. I love food. And I'm guessing you do too. Is it easy to say no to food for a time of fasting? It's not. I think more about food when I decide to fast than I probably do at other times, because I get hungry. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. Now, we're talking not about weight loss. We're not talking about fasting for the sake of health, but we're talking about fasting for a spiritual reason. So fasting is trading earthly pleasures for heavenly treasures. Now, I want to ask this question. Is fasting necessary according to the Bible? I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 6. And I'd like for you to read this, or see this as we read it. Matthew 6. Interesting, as I started looking at fasting, one of the things that I found as I started researching, that fasting is not something that a believer has to do. I'm going to differ with you this morning, or differ with that specific statement this morning, because of this scripture that we're going to. Matthew 6, verse 5. We're going to first of all look at prayer in this scripture. Verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest..." Does any of your Bibles say, "if you pray"? I'm not seeing that. But it says, "when thou prayest." That tells me that he's expecting prayer. This was a Sermon on the Mount. The old law was now laid down. It was fulfilled. Jesus was bringing in the new law. He was explaining how they are to live. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. The first thing he does, he gives, don't do it this way. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. They want to be noticed. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What's their reward? Very short-lived. So when the hypocrites pray to be noticed, and they're supposed to, it says that we are to pray, they have a reward. Let's go to verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Again, it's not if thou prayest, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now he's saying in this prayer, he's saying how to pray. Do it in secret. Excuse me. Are there places for public prayer? Yes, there are places for public prayer. But here he's saying, go in secret and pray to the Father. And there is a reward. There's closeness. There's answered prayers. God is going to reward you for that. That's what it says. Now let's drop down to verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, does any of your Bible say if ye fast? Doesn't say that, does it? When ye fast. So if we're to pray, I think it's also saying we're to fast. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Again, he's saying, don't be this way. Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So what it was in the Old Testament, they would probably have understood this a little better. But when they fast, that many times the hypocrites would come around and they would have torn clothes. Different things that they did to be noticed that I'm fasting. I'm really suffering. Kind of that idea. Verse 17. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. In a very simple way, comb your hair, wash your face, look normal. Don't try to make it look like you're fasting, like you're suffering, like you're going through something difficult. That thou appear not unto men, verse 18, to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, there's a reward. God answers prayer. So we have there that I believe it's important that we fast. I really do. Fasting again, like I said before, it's not easy. But fasting and prayer are not to be used as tools of pride. They're not to be directed towards self, but they are to be directed to God. And there is a reward, and that's closeness. Closeness with God. What do we receive when we fast? I want to say a couple of things about fasting here really quick. Maybe you have tried fasting, and maybe you have realized that all fasting does is make you hungry. That's it. I've been there. I take time to fast, and at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, what did I gain? You know the reason I felt that way? Because it was a checkpoint for me to check off. Bible says to fast, I'm going to do it, that's it. And it meant nothing. Because I missed something. Tiffany, would you state again what you said? Okay, I want to bring that in to our picture of fasting. And we'll talk about this here in a little bit. But when we fast, the desire of our heart has to be to pursue God. to get closer with Him. If that is our desire in fasting, it changes everything. Because it takes the view off of myself and it takes it on, puts it on to God. And God begins to move in our lives. Matthew 4, we don't have to go there, I'm just going to share a little bit, but Jesus, before He went into public ministry, it says He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hungered, I would guess so. 40 days and 40 nights, you're going to be hungry. But He did that before He was tempted. What was Satan's first temptation? Can somebody remember? What was the first temptation that he brought to Jesus? Food. Jesus had three temptations that he faced during that time. We get to the end of that, and Jesus responds back to Satan and says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Then look what happened. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus was in preparation for temptation. Jesus was human in that sense when He came to the earth. He was man and He was God. But He faced those feelings just like we did, like we do. But Jesus had strength to stay strong. He fasted. He sought His Father. He spent time with His Father to be able to be strong. What's that tell us? Is anybody here that doesn't face temptation? I'm going to challenge you with something. If you're facing a specific temptation you feel like you can't overcome, take that temptation to the Lord and tell Him, God, I'm fasting to seek You to give me strength to overcome. And watch what God does. I'm convinced that God is there. And when we lay aside some of our personal wants for what He wants, He starts moving. We have another example, and that is in the life of Esther. And I'm not going to go into this very deep, but Esther's people were going to be killed. It looked like there was going to be a big doings of the Jews being killed. And Esther wasn't sure what to do, so she checked with her stepfather, is what we're calling him, Mordecai. And he told her, Esther, you might be made for a time just like this. You need to go see the king. And Esther knew, if I go in to see the king, if he doesn't lift that scepter, it's death. But she made the comment. She said, if I die, I die. But it didn't stay with that. Esther told Mordecai, and he said, I want you to fast for 3 days and three nights. We talked a little bit this morning in our Sunday school, and now I can't think of the word. Praying for others. Tim? Intercession. Thank you. We talked a little bit about intercession. Esther was asking for intercession at this point. She was asking for them to pray and to fast for 3 days and three nights. And Esther said, me and my maidens are going to do the same thing. And we find out as we continue to read through that, that God so clearly answered Esther's prayer. Not only did He answer Esther's prayer in saving her people, He put some of her people in power. That's the God we serve. He made a complete turnaround and added on top of it. We have another one. In Acts 13. I'll just read a little bit of that here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and they were named here. And as they ministered to the Lord, the word minister there has the idea of worship. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted. So here they were, this group of men, they were teachers, they were prophets, they were worshiping, and they were fasting. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. What happened when they fasted and prayed? They were able to hear the Holy Spirit. Am I having a hard time hearing the Holy Spirit today? Does it seem quiet? He's not quiet. But again, I challenge us. Become diligent about seeking God through fasting. And I think we'll be surprised how we hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. The Holy Spirit spoke to them after they fasted and prayed. God was able to work amongst them because of their fasting and their prayer, their seeking God. You know, as believers, we talk about fasting. We talk about different things that we do because we are believers. We're different from the world as a believer. We've been born again. And we look at the world sometimes and we wonder, what in the world is wrong with them? But we shouldn't be surprised. The world's going to act different. But we are to act different because we are born again. So something like this, fasting, shouldn't be strange amongst us. We belong to a kingdom. To a kingdom that we are promised an eternity with the Father. But I really want to get to know Him on this side, closer. So when I meet Him, I know more about Him. Oh, He's going to teach us all kinds of things when we get there. As a believer, God calls you to a place of humility. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. There are some things that happen when we fast, in the true sense of fasting. There's a humility that takes place in our heart. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about, blessed are those who mourn. When we fast, there is a sense of regret for our sins. There's humility that comes out of fasting. We have hurt the heart of God with our sins. And when we're seeking Him diligently through fasting and prayer, that becomes more real. Now, I said we think about food all day long, and that's so. But there's something else that happens. We are way more God-conscious throughout the day when we fast. I'm sure you would have stories. There's those of you here I know that have fasted a lot longer than I have. And there's stories that have come out of that fasting. So my encouragement is for each one of us, let's take time to pray and to fast in earnest. We got an ordination coming up here real soon for deacon. Maybe it's hard for us to hear from the Spirit. We want to know when God chooses a person, that it's who God wants. Maybe I'm not sure we're going to be passing out here not too many Sundays down the road from here. We're going to be passing out some papers, some ballots. And you're going to have the opportunity to put a name on that ballot. I would encourage you, spend some time seeking the Father through prayer and fasting, specifically for the ordination. It's a very, very important work in the body of Christ. Fasting is not about convincing God that we're somebody. Matter of fact, it's a little bit the opposite. God has much He wants to give us in relationship with Him. And often those blessings come through fasting. Fasting is ultimate. And this one here, I'm not sure where I got it, this little quote. I like to give credit to where credit is due, but I can't remember. But fasting is not ultimately about what we let go of, but who we will let take hold of us. Fasting is a physical declaration regarding spiritual longing. That ties in with that, with what Tiffany says. Spiritual longing. What am I longing for? Fasting looks different when we fast out of longing to know Him deeper. It's not a box that we check off anymore. Now it's something that we want to gain in Christ. We want to get closer to Him. We want to get deeper with Him. We don't do it to win God's approval, but we want to do it because there is a reward. It brings honor and glory to God. And it brings a reward. There's closeness. Even on this side of heaven, there's closeness. Acts 14 talks a little bit about when they ordained. It says they prayed with fasting. I think that's pretty important for us. We talked about that a little bit. So here's a question I got. Am I hungry? We get hunger for physical food. We have food over here. We get hunger for that. But am I hungry for spiritual food? Am I hungry for connection with God? Am I hungry for something deeper? I don't ever want to get to a place, and I hope you don't either, where we say, okay, I've reached it, and I'm okay now. We want to continue to hunger after righteousness. Like I said before, fasting is not easy. It's difficult. But it is letting go of what I want to receive what God has for me. There's so many different things in Scripture, and as interesting as I started looking at this, I didn't realize there's that many Scriptures on fasting. There's a lot of Scripture. There's a lot of examples. I only touched a couple. But there's a lot of examples in Scripture about fasting. If we ask the Holy Spirit to give us a desire for a closer relationship with the Father, chances are pretty high that He's going to lead you to fasting. If you've never fasted before, pray through this one. Don't do it because you want to check off a box, I've fasted now. But ask the Father, through the Holy Spirit, what do you want of me? Give me a hunger for more of you. And if you sense that desire, come to Him and just tell Him, I'd like to fast because I want more of you. I want to know you in a deeper sense. And God will give you that desire. Fasting is preparing ourselves for receiving the reward, the blessings God has in store for us when we let go of our earthly desires for the desires of heavenly things. We are in this life. All of us have to get up. We got things to do. We got jobs to go to. Some of us need food for the sake of energy. But find a spot in your life where you can fast because you want to connect deeper with God. Maybe God will give you some supernatural energy. I'm not sure. But God will give you what you need for fasting. I want to go back and close with this. We read out of James 4. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He says in verse 9 and 10, soon after that, He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. And I look at that as a result of going through fasting. There's an affliction, there's a mourning, there's a weeping that happens because of our past sins. Your joy turns to heaviness when we face that. Then the next verse says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. That happens also with fasting. We are humbled because we are serving a God that loves us. And then the end of verse 10 says, and he shall lift you up. He doesn't leave us at that place. But as we continue to seek him, he brings us back into close fellowship and relationship with him. And there's joy that results from this. I don't know what your thinking is, your thoughts are this morning about fasting. I didn't tap anybody on the shoulder to share any stories. I maybe should have. But I know God answers. And I know God gives a closeness, a sense of family when we fast. No, fasting isn't something where we come to God and God, we're trying to get some brownie points here today. That's not it. But fasting is drawing close to God and being willing to let go of that cheeseburger. Being willing to let go of whatever it is in your life that keeps you from connecting with him. The cheeseburger's not going to make sure you can't connect. But it's letting go of something earthly, an earthly pleasure, for the sake of a spiritual treasure. Would you stand this morning? And we'll pray. Nelson, maybe you have a song ready for us afterwards. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for prayer, how you answer. And God, we thank you for fasting, even though it's a very difficult thing to do. We thank you so much for what you do through that. God, I pray for our congregation here and for each visitor that's here this morning. I pray that our hearts would be in tune with you. And God, that we would desire more of you. And Lord, as we consider fasting, maybe it's something we've never done. Maybe it's something we've done a lot of. But as we consider fasting, Lord, to be able to come into closer communion with you and be able to hear what you desire of us, God, we just want to open ourselves to you and ask that you would direct us in a very clear way how and when this should take place. Because, Lord, we believe that it's taught in the Word. Would you bless us today? Would you guide us? And we thank you so much for the food that's here, that's been prepared. We ask, Lord, that you would bless it. And may we today honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.